नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's very exciting, isn't it? This is chapter 5, the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. We're starting at text 3, which has no purport, so I'll read the Sanskrit and translation, and we'll do text 4 responsibly. Denunang nite prada vipre pyak samalankrite tiladrin saptaratnogha shata kompam parabritan. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows. Everybody heard that? Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows, completely decorated with cloth and jewels, in charity to the brahmanas. He also gave them 7 hills of grain, covered with jewels and with cloth decorated with golden embroidery. Now this is really far out. It says that Nanda Maharaj was maintaining 900,000 cows. Yet, at a moment's notice, on the appearance of Sri Krishna, Krishna Janmasthami, because there's Janmasthami, the very next day is Nandotsava, this festival of Nanda Maharaj celebrating Krishna's appearance. So on a moment's notice, he gave away 2 million cows. How you do that when you have 900,000? I don't know. Don't ask me. But he gave away 2 million cows. And not just, all right, here's some cows, take them. Completely decorated with cloth and jewels. That takes some time. You ever decorate one cow? Anybody here? Yeah, it takes a little while to decorate a cow, to do it nicely. You know, paint some little things on the face and do the hooves nicely and put some cloth on her. It takes a while. Try doing that to 2 million cows. Then he gave away 7 hills of grain. Doesn't say how tall the hills were, but to be called a hill, it has to be pretty high. Covered with jewels. Maybe a little bit of a straining problem there. If you, somebody gives you a bag of grain with jewels in it, you got to strain out the jewels and then use the grains for cooking. But anyway, grain covered with jewels and cloth decorated with a golden embroidery. And golden doesn't mean that it's only golden color. It's actually gold in those days. When it says golden, it means gold. So this is one of these verses that really strains the imagination. Really strains your imagination. Seems like this is just storytelling. Come on, somebody's making this up. Somebody can give away 2 million cows on a moment's notice, fully decorated. But we have to accept what's in the Bhagavatam. We accept it without question. By the time we've gotten here to the 10th canto, supposedly we've read the other 9 cantos. Anybody here? Raise your hand. If you've not read the other 9 cantos, put your hand up. Okay, so only a few. Most of you have read the entire up to this point. So that means we understand who Krishna is. And before we even get to Bhagavatam, we should have read the Bhagavad Gita. And if not fulfilling Krishna's statement or request in the Bhagavad Gita to surrender to him, we should at least be trying to surrender to Krishna. So by the time we enter into the Bhagavatam, we should have a good idea who Krishna is, who we are, what is the material energy. So if you actually have assimilated all of that knowledge, then statements like this don't blow your mind, because you know you're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can adjust anything, anytime, anywhere, any way he wants. Just like his very appearance in Mathura. The fortress was tied down. There were guards. Everything was locked up with iron chains. Still, by his desire, his mystic potency, everything opened up. The guards fell asleep. So we're dealing with Krishna. So we can't say, no, it can't be. He can't give away to me. No, it's Krishna's desire to fulfill his father's desire, Nanda Maharaj, to satisfy him in this way. The whole purpose of Nanda Maharaj giving in charity is not just to please the brahmanas. He's excited that Krishna has appeared in as his son, and he wants to please Krishna. So when somebody wants to please Krishna, Krishna can give them any facility that he wants to give them. There's not a problem on his part. Okay? All right, so text 4, we'll do responsibly. Kalena Snana Shochabhyam Sangskarais Tapasejaya Chudyanti Danai Santushtya Dravyani Atmatma Vidyaya. Kalena Snana Shauchabhyam. Sangskarais Tapasejaya. Shudyantidana Santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma Vidyaya. Remember, when normally the word would be dravyani with an I, but when it changes to a Y, it means you run it into the next word. Don't say it separately, it just ruins the meter. So it's not dravyani atmatma. It's dravyanyatmamaya, like that, and you run it together, okay? Kalena snana sochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidhanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Please chant. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidhanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Vaishnavis. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Anyone else? Kalena snana shochabhyam. Sangskarais tapasejaya. Shudyantidanai santushtya. Dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Okay, synonyms. Kalena. By due course of time, the land and other material things become purified. Snana shochabhyam. By bathing, the body becomes purified. And by cleansing, unclean things become purified. Sangskarai. By purificatory processes, birth becomes purified. Tapasa, by austerity, the senses become purified. Ijaya, by worship, the brahmanas become purified. Shudyanti, become purified. Danai, by charity, wealth becomes purified. Santushtya, by satisfaction. The mind becomes purified. Dravyani, all material possessions such as cows, land and gold. Atma, the soul, becomes purified. Atmavidyaya, by self-satisfaction. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O king, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified. And by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. So let's go back up and do it responsibly. O king, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified. And by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. Very short purport. Srila Prabhupada says, there are shastric injunctions concerning how one can purify everything according to Vedic civilization. Unless purified, anything we use will infect us with contamination. In India, 5,000 years ago, even in the villages such as that of Nanda Maharaj, people knew how to purify things. And thus they enjoyed even material life without contamination. Yeah, obviously that should have been new how, not new no. That's why I hesitated. There's a typo in the purport. Om Jnanatam Hiranyasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Haripriya Vancha Kalpaturubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanang Pavanevhyo Vaishavevhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, now that we're in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, means we've already progressed from the first canto, worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. We've made our way up the form of the Lord. Now we're at His lotus face in the 10th canto. But still, Shukadeva Goswami is informing Maharaj Parikshit about the processes of purification. Because this material world that we live in is by nature a contaminated place. Because the pure soul is covered by the modes of material nature, we engage in impure, contaminated activities. Because our desires are contaminated, our activities become contaminated. Thinking leads to feeling, leads to willing, leads to activity. So if the mind is not pure, then there's no way one's going to engage in pure activities. So here is being suggested how to purify the different aspects of our existence. Here in this 10th canto, we are again being invited to take full shelter of Krishna. And one who does that, even if externally they don't appear to be clean, we know they are considered to be clean. We chant that verse at every yoga. Om Pavitra, Om Pavitra, Pavitra Va. That verse says that Whether purified or unpurified, having passed through all situations, one who remembers the lotus side, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered to be purified within and without. That's the situation. So, even externally, one may not be clean, apparently, if one is fully absorbed in Krishna. Because sometimes the devotees, we know, they enter into the avaduta stage of life, where externally they may not seem to be following all the rules and regulations, and they may not seem to be clean sometimes. And there are so many examples in the Bhagavatam. But one who is fully absorbed, who's in samadhi, trance, in thought of Krishna, they're pure in every situation. But for the rest of us, here's being suggested how to come to the stage of full pure existence, of purifying our naturally contaminated existence in this material world. So by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. Not a lot of explanation given here on this. The acharyas may have said something, I didn't check it, so we'll just leave that as it is. By bathing, the body is purified. Pretty obvious. The body, just by its nature, is self-contaminating. Self-contaminating. All of the openings of the body are considered to be contaminated. So anything you touch, even your eyes, you're considered to be impure. What to speak of other openings in the body you touch. But people nowadays are not convinced of that. They willingly and voluntarily, particularly, touch their mouth and then they want to shake hands with you. So suggest that you just do pranams just like that. Don't let anybody touch you if you want to remain relatively clean all day long, because people in general are not clean. Literally, you watch them, they touch their mouth and then they want to touch everything. If they have to separate two pieces of paper, they touch their mouth and then they, you know, it's just constantly self-contaminating. So the body has to be purified minimum once a day by taking bath. Preferably twice, and for the sannyasis, three times. Brahmanas also tend to follow that, but definitely by the time you get to the sannyasa ashram, you're supposed to take bath three times a day. And in this way, externally, one remains clean. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. So this was discussed at length yesterday about the different sanskaras, junctures of life that one goes through. And by observing these sanskaras, one can purify these particular junctures of life. But the first one is particularly stressed, that garbhadang sanskar. And Prabhupada said that because in Kali Yuga nobody's properly practicing garbhadang sanskar, then everybody's shudra or less. Even the so-called brahmanas that remain, they don't follow this garbhadang sanskar, so there are no brahmanas out there. By austerity, the senses are purified. We know austerity is one of the pillars of religious life. What are the others? There are four pillars of religious life. One is austerity, one is truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, yes, compassion. So how do people in general destroy their compassionate or merciful nature? By eating meat. And how do they destroy austerity? By intoxication. And truthfulness is destroyed by gambling. Are you with me here? I mean, we're all in the Hare Krishna movement. We're supposed to learn this the first day. We're supposed to know these things. How are we going to maintain these pillars of religion if we don't meditate on them? All right? And cleanliness is destroyed by illicit sex. So, as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada Nugas or aspiring Prabhupada Nugas, we promise to maintain these pillars of religion by avoiding those things. And it's for our own good. These are the regulative principles of freedom. They're not shackles. Not like this Marquis of Zetlin said to Prabhupada's god brother when he asked, can you make me a Brahmin? And he said, yes, of course. You just have to follow these principles and chant. Impossible. He said, I cannot do that. That's impossible. No, it's not impossible. We're all supposed to be living examples of the fact that it is possible to follow these principles, and not just follow them grudgingly, but follow them and be happy. Because they're actually regulative principles of freedom. One is being freed from material entanglement, freed from material contamination by following these regulative principles. But because we are naturally born into shudra or lower mentality, we are completely absorbed in the bodily concept of life, and therefore we have problems with one or more of these principles. As I traveled on my trip, quite often these questions come up, like very last class in Warsaw before coming back. There was a very nicely dressed businessman type, and he was there, so he was inquiring very strongly about this no illicit sex. What does it mean? What can one do with one's wife and can't do? It was being very explicit. Because again, being in the bodily concept of life, that's where his mind is absorbed. He's absorbed in how to try to get some pleasure by bringing my body in contact with another material body. But this is not absolutely necessary. It is only required really for bringing another living entity into this material world. But if one is not experiencing a higher taste, then one is going to be absorbed in these lower activities. It's hard to give them up if one does not actively pursue the higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharsude hinam rasavarjamrasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That the living entity in the material concept of life, they can be restrained from engaging in these activities. But if you don't get a higher taste, then naturally you're going to go back to where you got some taste previously. So it becomes very, very important for us to really dive into the Krishna conscious activities so that we gradually increase our taste. But again, by the time we come to the 10th canto, we should have this very, very strong taste of relishing topics of Krishna, hearing about Krishna's activities, descriptions of his form, his interaction with his devotees, etc., etc., etc. We should really, really be attracted to that. And this is our natural constitutional position, to get pleasure by coming in contact with Krishna. And that contact is in the mood of service. It's in the mood of service. All of the five rasas have that mood of service. Even the conjugal rasa, the gopis, have a mood of service towards Krishna. So one has to actively cultivate this mood of service. And that's one of the things that are so appreciated when one goes to these big festivals. Like I went to the Bhakti Sangam festival in Ukraine. And it's just amazing how so many devotees, they come there and they literally surrender every day to doing significant quantities of service day long. Not just serving senior devotees, but cutting up veggies to feed everybody. Now, there were, I estimate, about 2,000 devotees at this festival. So you can imagine, to generate prasadam for 2,000 devotees every day, it's not an easy thing. Cutting up veggies and cleaning the place and just over-the-top service attitude. I'm really, really, sometimes devotees think that I travel to inspire young devotees. No, I travel to be inspired by the young devotees. Because they're so surrendered. It's very refreshing to come in contact with so many devotees in such very, very strong devotional service attitude. So this is where we get the taste from. This is where we get the taste from. The material mentality is, I'm always looking around to be served. I want to be served. If it doesn't happen naturally, if the wife, the children, the dog don't serve me naturally, then at least I want to make enough money so that I can make people serve me. I can pay them to serve me. And they better do it right, otherwise I'll fire them and get somebody else. like that. We want to be served. In the material mentality, we have this strong desire to be served. Because we're trying to usurp Krishna's position. The natural position of the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna God, is to be in the center of everything and accept service from everyone. This is God's natural position. When we turn away from God, we develop a very strong desire to have that position, to be in the position of being served, of everybody looking up to us and wanting to serve us and bow down to us, etc. Now, in the material world, if you exhibit that desire too strongly, nobody's going to want to be around you. Everybody's going to think you're just a puffed up idiot. So we tone it down a little bit. We tone it down. And we have to do some service also if we want to get service back. But the desire remains. It doesn't go away. Until we fully surrender to Krishna, that desire to have Krishna's position remains. So this is what the ultimate purification is. Yes, you can purify your body and your land, and you can purify your money by giving in charity. And that culture was there, like Prabhupada said, the villagers even back 5,000 years ago, they knew how to purify things. And in India, still you have this culture of, if you make money, big money, like the big families especially, they know they have to give in charity. They construct temples or they give money for hospitals or schools or whatever, because they have this training, that if you don't purify your wealth by giving in charity, then it's going to drag you down. So that much culture they still have. But the ultimate purification, nobody's desiring. Nobody wants to come to the point of being completely pure servant of Krishna, reawakening my love for Krishna. That takes time and takes contact with an extremely powerful process, this process of Krishna consciousness. You can't, even if you understand theoretically that I need to purify my existence, spirit, my spiritual existence, it does not happen automatically or easily. It happens automatically if one stays in contact with the supreme purifying agent, which is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme purifier. And in this age, Lord Chaitanya and his followers stress Krishna's name as a purifying agent. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinatam Nama Namino. So Shuddha, this name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mantra specifically, has the potency, the power to purify anyone in any situation of life. Anywhere you start from. If you take seriously to this chanting process, which is the other thing that is obviously emphasized at these festivals. And I'll show a few pictures at the end. But if you want to see a lot more, you can go to my Facebook page. But when you have 2,000 devotees in one place, chanting their hearts out, it's so uplifting. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's just like you get transported. You just get lifted off the ground, literally. So this is the Hare Krishna movement. This is what Lord Chaitanya was spreading when he was personally on the planet. Everywhere he went, he would inspire thousands of people to chant together. And when you have thousands of people chanting simultaneously, it transforms the atmosphere anywhere you are. And when we have a few hundred devotees going down Main Street on Rath Yatra chanting, it transforms the atmosphere. People come out, they come to their balcony, and they're taking pictures. It's attractive. You can't help it. It's attractive. And for those who don't find it attractive, who want to run away, by the time they run away, it's already gone in. They're also delivered. That's the whole point of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Once it enters anybody's ears, it's too late. They may not realize it, but they're going to get reeled in. So this is the whole process for the Kali Yuga age, this chanting of Hare Krishna. And again, when you have thousands of devotees, or even hundreds, or even a few. I mean, my first stop again was in Warsaw, Poland. And there, their Harinam was about 8 devotees. But they're so into it. They're so into it. You'll see, if you go on, again, on my Facebook page, you'll see a video of them doing Harinam in Warsaw. They really get into it. The leader's playing an accordion, and he's really, really infectious melodies. And the devotees dance and chant their hearts out for like, you know, a couple of hours up and down around the downtown area. And so even a handful of devotees, even one devotee, how many of you know Siddhavidya? You know Siddhya, who's gone now. He's our godbrother who's left. But Siddhavidya Prabhu was so serious about Harinam that if nobody else would go out with him, he would go out alone. So he went out alone many, many days of the year. He would be the only person. I met him first in Brooklyn, Henry Street. And then after that, he moved to Miami. He set up in Miami and he stayed there for decades. So the last time I was in Miami, which was a long, long time ago, was maybe 1989, 1990. He was still at it, and Sid and I went out together. We were the only ones that day. We went out doing Harinam. And so till the end of his life, he was going out, and he was so loved by all the merchants, because he would go up and down this particular street in Miami. And all the shopkeepers, all the waiters and waitresses, everybody knew him, and they just loved him. He just loved him. Hey, it's the Hare Krishna guy. He would go by himself. Hare Krishna. Up and down the street. So the Harinam, holy name, is so potent that if one person takes it seriously, just like Prabhupada himself, he sat down in Tompkins Square Park in New York by himself and chanted, and then began this movement. So, but again, it's meant to be done congregationally ultimately. Bring thousands, hundreds, tens of devotees together and just chant. And the effect can be seen when you travel. And this is why I recommend anybody who can, you know, go out and travel around the ISKCON world. When you stay in one place, one temple, you know, you just get caught up in all the local politics and problems and this and that. And you can't see the forest for the trees. But when you get out, when you go out on the road and you travel to all these centers that we have out there, ISKCON is a pretty big world. And you see, the ISKCON world is vibrant and it's expanding. It's attracting people and wonderful. I went to even some really remote places, like there's a little city in the north of Lithuania called Mažeikiai. And it's a temple there, and there may be a dozen devotees, mostly Matijis. There's like two or three guys are there, and they do everything. They have Gornitai deities, and this is the other realization that I had while traveling. Not only is the holy name going to go to every town and village, as Lord Chaitanya predicted, in every town and village, as many towns and villages as there are in the face of the planet, my holy name will be heard. But they're going themselves. They're going themselves. Gornitai is in practically every town and village. All these little centers out there in people's homes, they have Gornitai deities. So it's amazing when you travel. You see, Gornitai are there. They've taken up shop in every town and village. To not only make this prediction come true, but to push it on. Because, you know, the worship of Gornitai is not as difficult or as strict as when you have Radha Krishna deities. So practically any twice initiated devotee can worship Gornitai deities. They don't, you know, they're not so... Yes, you should. Obviously, don't try to offend the deities, but it's not as critical as when you're worshiping Radha Krishna deities. And they've just taken over the planet. They're out there. You'll see from some of these pictures. So anyway, quarter after, I think I'll just stop here and see if there are any questions and comments, and I'll just run through a few pictures for you. Yes, Brigapati Prabhu.
Comment. Since you spoke so much about it just now in your class, I just wanted to mention that we have a Harinam party here in New Dwarka. And I just started going out myself about over the last 2 months, but there's a very committed crew of devotees, Gopalananda, Sajidanoy, his wife, Govindadat, you know, and others as well, and they, Neil Madhava, and they really work hard. They're really into it. It's not just like a real spaced out Harinam. And they would really appreciate everybody's support, which means come out, do it with them.
Yes.
So it's generally every Friday and Saturday evening. And once every 2 weeks it shifts to Thursday.
Yeah.
They do. So, yeah, it's really good. I've been going out for the last 2 months myself and really, you know, getting a lot of
benefit. I can attest to it. It's wonderful. And everybody in the community who is available should go out. As you know, you and I joined about the same time in New York. We used to go out every day in the early days. They used to send us out every day. And then when I got drawn into the press work and book production, then we went out at least a couple of times a week. Big Friday night, Harinam, and then Saturday night again, or sometimes in the middle of the week, go downtown. So yeah, this movement is built on the chanting of the holy name outside, not just in the temple. And everybody... But not only are the devotees in the temple. Those who are living in anywhere within, you know, an hour's driving radius can come out for Harinam. It's not a big deal. You can come. It's just, Harinam is so important because it forces you to publicly admit that you're a Hare Krishna, which is required. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one part of the process is to identify yourself with the devotees of the Lord. But if you don't go out on Harinam, you kind of want to blend in with everybody else out there, and you're not, you know. No, when you go out on Harinam, especially if you go out dressed in devotional clothes, it forces you to make that separation. I am a devotee of Krishna, or trying to be, and there's everybody else that we're trying to make into the devotees. Okay, Satya Narayan, one question?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention how much is...
Give him the microphone, please, so the internet can hear. Other departments can also hear.
I just wanted to mention how much it's affecting others extraordinarily. The Sankirtan that you, the Harinam you just mentioned, the Arabic speakers dance along with the devotees, and they're not traditionally aware or so interested, but they're so interested that they dance with the devotees, and then they ask for Arabic books. And our Neela Madhava just distributed 25 Arabic books. And the wonderful thing is they actually take the books back with them to the Middle East. So these are transcendental nuclear, whatever. I mean, they're very powerful. And so the seeds are being planted in the Middle East from Los Angeles. That's a very big deal.
A shameless plug for BBT Far East Middle East, but fully supported by me.
Yes.
Yes. Every major city in the world that gets tourist traffic should have all of the books as far as possible in other languages, in Russian, in Arabic, in Spanish, in Chinese. And because, you know, it's a melting pot here. You know, people come through and they come down to, especially where we go chanting, Santa Monica Promenade, you get people from all over the world. I've personally experienced many times distributing books to people from London, from this place, that place. So yeah, we should be very conscious of that when we go out on Hari Nam, especially in these very touristy spots, and bring books of all languages, specifically Far East, Middle East books. Okay, one more Rabindranath, and then we'll have to save some time to just show a few pictures.
Yeah, you mentioned about the principles of religion, and specifically intoxication and like austerity. Do you know where that specifically says what that what those are correlated to? And because I never could find that in Srila Prabhupada's books. As far as it's, I read things about.
Of course, mercy is there, definitely. Prabhupada mentions that killing the animals, you definitely become merciless. Yeah. So that leaves only austerity, which is obviously matching up with gambling. I don't remember where all the list, the whole list is there, but you remember? Yeah. I don't remember if the entire list is there, but again, Prabhupada definitely spoke about those three. Illicit sex kills cleanliness, that gambling kills truthfulness, and that meat eating kills mercy. He definitely spoke about those three. So that leaves only austerity and gambling to match up. But anyway, we can discuss that further. We can look at it. If you can open that slide. Is that tiny? Okay, so as I said, as I travel, Goni Thai is everywhere. This is my first stop. In Poland, Warsaw. So just keep going through. Just keep moving now to the next and the next. We'll try to do this quickly. Yeah, all right. So this is the little city I was talking about, Mažeikiai, which is in Lithuania, north of Lithuania, near the Latvian border. And here I am taking out the Hari Nam party. It was just a pit stop. I came in, had lunch. We went out on Hari Nam, gave an evening class, and then I was out the door. So this is the altar in Minsk, Belarus. This is Janmashtami, actually. We have Goni Thai deities, two sets. And just, like I said, Goni Thai taking over the world, everywhere you go. Then they have Jagannath deities also on that altar. Actually, no, this set of Jagannath deities is from the festival. Yeah, this is from the festival. In the festival in Ukraine. So they brought Jagannath deities and Goni Thai deities. There is Prahladananda Maharaj leading the string of prayers after Mangal Arati. And this is just an idea of the how the devotees intensely get into the dancing and the chanting. It's just wonderful. This is the when I arrived at the temple in Warsaw, Poland. The temple building is in the back there. This is the ashram and the temple office. And this is their altar. They have Jagannath deities and Goni Thai. Really beautiful deities, just like over the top beautiful. And this is the Hari Nam I was telling you about in Warsaw. They're only like, count, eight devotees. But they're so potent. They chant so heavily. And then this is going back to the temple. So I have a small Garuda outside the temple in Warsaw. There's a short video, but let me set it up because by the time I explain to you, I can just do it myself. I'll just run that video. And then we'll end it. Give me a paper. My glasses are over there. Bring them for me. So, let's... where's the keyboard? Let's escape out of here.
All right. So. This should be the video.
Doesn't matter, just saying Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you.
you put this back on the mic stand? Or just bring the stand over here, actually.
I appreciate 100%.
Hi, Mo.
You're speaking about Siddhavidhi Prabhu. More than excellent devotee. More than excellent.
Oh, yeah. He's over the top. There's no question where he went after he left his body. Zoe, you coming next year? What to speak of the observatory? You should have every single language in the world, right?
Thank you. Post that video online.
It is online. Yeah, one of the stickers on my Facebook, along with many others. And as soon as I can, I'll get to the archaeological pictures and find it.
Okay. Just before next year.